This is your friend John Walden. We're studying in the book of Philippians. If you have your Bible handy, open it to chapter 3. And we'll begin now with verse 8. Yea, doubtless, which is simply a term that indicates very strong emotion, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. That is, I want to know him better. Nothing else really counts. I'm not holding on to my old religion. I have no confidence in myself. I count all of these things lost. In fact, he says, I count them but dung or refuse that I may win Christ. Now, to win Christ doesn't mean that he's trying to earn his favor or trying to earn salvation, but that he wants a better knowledge of him, a knowledge that is the result of experience and of close fellowship with him. And he says to be found in him, to be found in Christ, means trusting in him, accepted in him, safe in him, as Noah and his family were safe in the ark, and happy in him, as he said at verse 1, rejoicing in the Lord. So to be found in Christ is to be a member of his body, to be joined to him, to be one of his own, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Self-righteousness has no place in the life of a believer. Self-confidence does not fit with a Christian's profession. Now, those who are busy trying to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, according to the 10th chapter of Romans. This is not the righteousness of Christ, that is not his intrinsic righteousness, his own character righteousness, but rather it is the fact that God is righteous in counting me right. Now how could this be? I'm not right. I have not always done right. Is God shutting his eyes to my sin? Is he just saying that I'm right when I'm not? Why, of course not. What he is doing is giving me a righteousness, imputing a righteousness to me, in the same way that the father took a robe from out of his own house and put it on the prodigal son. So God has clothed us with his own righteousness. And this is said to be through the faith of Christ. That is, it comes by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you have not been counted righteous in God's sight, no matter how righteous you have tried to live. Then he says in verse 10, that I may know him. Now he knew the Lord. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus many years before this, perhaps nearly 30 years before this. Why does he say, I want to know him? Well, the word he uses for knowledge here is a word which means a knowledge that is based on experience. And it's gained by intimate association. That is, I want to know him in a deeper sense of spending time with him, not just paying him an occasional visit. If you're a Christian and you only think of calling on the Lord when you have some kind of an emergency in your life, you haven't learned to really know him. You ought to be a close friend of his, and he a close friend of yours. And this is possible. You can know the Lord Jesus better than you can know any human friend. And he says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Now this resurrection, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection is known in believers when we allow the same power to work out through us. Now what was the power of his resurrection? Well, the first chapter of Ephesians tells us that he was raised again from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, this is the same power which now works in us. So the Holy Spirit, indwelling us, is able to do in us, similar to that which he did in raising the Lord Jesus from the dead, that is, in putting a new life within us. The life of Christ lived out in us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. This is the power of resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, sharing the rejection that the Lord Jesus felt and suffered here on this earth. It is not possible, brother and sister, to pass by the fellowship of his sufferings, and expect to reign with him at the coming day. I'm not now speaking of eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. But the reigning with Christ is dependent upon our suffering with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Anyway, why shouldn't we want to take sides with him? This is the day of his rejection. He's coming back. When he comes back, those who have shared his rejection are going to share his glory. Let's share it with him. And being made conformable to his death. There are four things in verse 10. The fourth one is being made conformable unto his death. That is no longer a part of things down here. When the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead, the world never saw him again. His own saw him. He spent 40 days with his own. As many as 500 saw him at once. But he had nothing more to do with this world. And you and I, who really believe that we have been crucified with Christ and raised again and living the new life in the new power that he's given us, ought to be a separated people. He says that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Attain to the resurrection of the dead doesn't mean that he hoped to rise from the dead in case he died. This is not physical resurrection at all. In fact, the Revised Version calls it the out-resurrection from among the dead. That is, living in such a way that people will know that we are not dead sinners, but that the resurrection life of Christ is seen in those who trust in him. But he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. I don't consider that I have arrived. There are some people, you know, who are so conceited, so full of themselves, that they say, well, I've arrived. I've reached the point now where I'm sinless and perfect. Well, he said, I don't consider myself already perfect. That's in verse 12. Now, in verse 15, he says, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. But this is an entirely different word. Perfect in verse 12 is in the perfect tense, that is, meaning absolute perfection. While in verse 15, it's a noun, which indicates that he means that I am mature. I am grown up. I'm not a child anymore. So it's two different words. We ought to be grown up Christians, but none of us can say that we have reached a point where we are sinlessly perfect, where we have arrived. This is conceit. And you're fooling nobody but yourself. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. What does he mean by this? Well, in verse 12 he said that he was following after. And this word following after means literally to pursue relentlessly as a wild animal pursues after its prey. This is the same word that Paul uses to describe the way he persecuted the Christians before he was saved himself. And in the same way that he served the devil, now he said, I want to earnestly serve the Lord and follow after. I want to pursue this, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended, if of Christ Jesus. Now, to apprehend anything means simply to grasp it, to get hold of it. I want to get hold of this. I don't claim that I can comprehend it, which means to take it all in, but I can apprehend. I can get some grasp of why the Lord Jesus has taken hold of me. Brethren, he said, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now, this is something that every Christian should be able to say. One thing I do. The psalmist said in the Old Testament, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in his presence. And so he says here, there's one thing which I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, the things which are behind would not only include his sins, but it would include his good life that he described in verses 4, 5, and 6. All that I claimed to be as a religious man before I was saved, these things I put away. And it would include his good works since he was a Christian. You know, some Christians are like the flugy bird. They're always flying backwards. They're always talking about what they did to serve the Lord a long time ago, and this is spoiling their present usefulness. Never mind what you have done for the Lord. Let him take care of that. He won't forget it. He is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Hebrews 6:10 says. So just leave that with him and forget the things which are behind. You can forget your sins because they've been put away. And you can forget your good works because the Lord will reward those in his own good time. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth and pressing forward mean the same as follow after. It means that we relentlessly pursue this. We live for this alone. This is my aim in life. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now this is not pressing forward in hopes that he would be forgiven, be saved, for he tells us that in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, to us who are saved, the gospel is the power of God. Of course he was saved. Well, what was he pressing forward to? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is, he was looking forward to the time when the Lord would reward him for having spent a life in fellowship with himself. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus means that he might have a part in the coming kingdom, for all rewards are connected with the coming kingdom, crowns, supervision over cities, and so on. So he said, I make this my main business in life. I have no other aim in life but to live to please the Lord Jesus. Now these are high things, and if you're a Christian, this should be your aim in life. If you're not a Christian, don't you see that you're still in the same condition Paul was in the first part of this chapter, just with your own self-righteousness and not having a righteousness that makes you acceptable to God at all? Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to us. We pray that those who have not yet received our Savior will see how much they need him and how well he saves those who put their trust in him. And bless thy dear children. Help us to have one aim in life, to please our Savior. Take our thanks in his own precious name. Amen.